Every summer, thousands of poker players descend on Las Vegas with $10,000 bankrolls in their pockets and stars in their eyes. A few will walk away with precious bracelets that declare them champions at the World Series of Poker. And, of course, with a whole bunch of money, too. The event is underway, and ESPN color commentator Norman Chad joins us in a moment. If you've been there, done that, give us a call. What's special about this event? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Norman Chad also writes the syndicated Couch Slouch column, and he joins us from his hotel room in Las Vegas. Thanks very much for taking time out to be with us.
Good to be here, Neil.
And Norman, I have to take note. I've done play-by-play in minor league baseball. I do the finals at the American Crossword Puzzle Tournament every year. I did play-by-play of a presidential impeachment. How do you get a job doing play-by-play at a poker tournament?
You know, at least it's play-by-play on TV of poker, not radio. And actually, my partner, Lon McCarron, does the play-by-play. I do the color commentary, and on top of that, we're not even doing it live. We do it afterwards when we already know the results. So that's a really weird skill. I'm not really sure if I went to college for the right reason.
Hindsight is a big advantage.
Yeah, hindsight is a big advantage. If I had to do it over again, I wouldn't have gone to college. I would have just started watching television at the age of 18 to prepare myself to watch poker on television at the age of 50.
A lot of people went to college and spent their time watching TV anyway.
Yeah, and they didn't get paid for it. I actually used to write a sports television column, so I've gotten paid my entire adult life, essentially, not to get off the couch. And, I can't complain. It's been a pretty good life.
So the events happen, and the magic of it, what seems to make it work as a television event, besides the witty and brilliant commentary, is the cameras underneath the table that show us the hole cards that the players have.
Yeah, that was the essentially poker on TV didn't really exist before 2003. And then in 2003, that technology came aboard, which allowed people at home to see what the cards were. Beforehand, if the limited poker on television was very, very difficult to watch because you had no idea what the players had. You couldn't hear them speaking to each other. It was difficult to follow. Even poker players had difficulty following it. So that was the big breakthrough in terms of being able to watch it on television, being able to see the whole cards.
And we think of the World Series of Poker. Most of us think of the main event, which is the one big deal. But there are a whole bunch of tournaments.
Yeah, most people don't realize the World Series of Poker, it's almost like the Olympics where you have different events every day. So the World Series of Poker, it's 6 weeks of different poker events every day, and then the marquee event is the main event where, you know, somebody has a chance to win up to $10 million. But every day for 6 weeks in Las Vegas is another one or two different poker events leading up to the main event.
And does this drive you nuts? I mean, are you doing this all the time now?
Well, it's a different life. Being in a casino 14 or 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, pretty much time stops, Neil. You know, you were mentioning that just now in your news update, you know, troops, if those Chinese troops were marching into Chicago, we wouldn't know it. We have no idea what goes on outside the casino. You pretty much go from casino to casino parking lot to hotel and back to casino. So it's you're like in a parallel universe, and you're surrounded by poker players. I grew up. My parents used to take our dogs to dog shows, and that's you know, just huge acreage of dogs everywhere you look, and they're barking. And now I just have huge acreage of poker players everywhere I look, and they're barking. They don't shut up.
I happened to be in Saratoga in the summer of 1973 and remember somebody saying to me, Watergate, broodmare, right? Now, let's see if we get some callers on the line. We're talking with Norman Chad at the World Series of Poker, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. John's on the line calling from Kalamazoo.
Hi, Norman.
Yes.
Why is the Ace of Spades the prettiest card in the deck?
Well, you take a look at it. I mean, go through the 52 cards. I've always claimed the Ace of Spades is the prettiest card in the deck. It is a gorgeous-looking card. I mean, what you're gonna go with the three of clubs? Nothing is prettier than the ace of spades, and it's the card that I've done my most damage with in terms of when I don't lose at poker. When I have a chance of winning, the ace of spades is involved.
Okay,
John, do you have an alternative prettiest card?
No, I was just I've heard him say it many times, and I was wondering what his reasoning for that was, and I'm also wondering if he ever got a date with Kara Scott.
Kara Scott is a British poker player and a broadcaster. She does poker in Britain, and she's a very, very smart, personable, and attractive woman. Last year during the broadcast, I pretty much declared her to be my next wife, which was a problem since I'm currently married. And she took it very well. I actually read into her at this World Series, and she is more delightful than I thought. And I really can't talk about her anymore because it's damaging the only marriage that I have a chance of surviving.
John, thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Okay.
Here's an email from Stacy in Scottsdale, Arizona. Howdy, I played in one of the $1,500 no-limit hold'em bracelet events in the 2008 World Series, and I can say that the experience is not unlike taking the SAT naked in front of a live studio audience. Suffice to say, I came back home with all kinds of stories to tell about the withering pressure and the amazing players I saw this year. I enrolled in the World Series of Poker Academy so I could improve my game. I figured it'd be a better investment of my $1,500, and I learned a lot, basically all the mistakes I made last year. But that said, I can't wait until next year.
Yes, yeah, I'm glad you know those type of events, Neil. There's nothing like it when you pay the $1,500. You sit down with literally 3,000 or 4,000 other players, and people don't understand the how draining it is. I mean, all you're doing is sitting at a table playing poker all day. But when you start at noon and you play till 2 o'clock in the morning, when you are done, you cannot believe how physically and emotionally and mentally draining it is. And in no limit hold'em, where you can push your chips in at any one time, any one mistake takes you out of the tournament. So you're really on edge for a long time. And when you're done with that 13-14 hour stint, all you want to do is collapse, and then you're supposed to do it again the next day.
Now, this year, you wrote a column. You entered one of the tournaments, not the main event, but one of the tournaments this year.
Yeah, again, there's other tournaments that occur earlier, and there's various forms of poker. You know, there's stud, there's Omaha, there's hold'em. So I enter a couple a year, and this year I entered the World Championship of stud high-low or stud 8, and it cost $10,000. And it's quite an experience, again, to sit down and do it yourself. You know, I play poker recreationally, but to sit down in that type of tournament atmosphere and sit down with, you know, Johnny Chan or Doyle Brunson or Phil Hellmuth across from you, there's really nothing like it.
It's a lot easier talking about them on the television.
Talking is free. Talking doesn't cost me any money. And you never, you know, I make mistakes in the booth, but it doesn't really matter. And but when you're at the table, just like anything else, when you're competing against somebody, it's pretty intense. And I really, you know, it's a different type of poker, and I enjoyed it, and I'll do it again, you know, as long as I can.
As long as somebody will help you raise the $10,000.
Well, that's for sure. I didn't have it myself.
Have you learned? You've seen now a quadrillion hands of poker, knowing what Phil Ivey had in his hold cards or Chris Ferguson. Have you learned anything from them?
Yeah, you know, apparently, Neil, I have a very slow learning curve because that form of poker, you know, I'm awful at. You know, if I sat down at a poker table and played no limit Texas Hold'em against 9 Franciscan monks, I would be the underdog. I have no idea what I'm doing. So just the fact that you're around it, you know, I guess this was the argument against Hillary Clinton. Just because she was in the White House for 8 years didn't qualify her to be president. Just because I'm in the poker room and watching all this doesn't make me the smartest guy in the room. I'm still the guy who really doesn't know what he's doing. So yeah, I haven't learned it that well.
Max is on the line. Max calling from Denver.
Norman, is that a question? How do you think the economy is going to affect the number of entrants in this year's main event?
Well, we found out already. The main event just started. And,
oh, okay.
You know, it's just amazing. The, you know, the economy is pretty tough, and apparently the World Series of Poker is recession-proof. We're getting just as many entrants as we did last year. And I'm reminded that, you know, there's an old expression that, you know, in good times, gambling and porn do very well. And in bad times, gambling and porn do very well. People got to have their gambling and their pornography, and people have – they find money to gamble, and there's nothing like the World Series of Poker. I mean, if you play poker just on a casual basis, I always encourage people to come out and just watch it, even if you're not going to play, because you just can't believe just the sight and the buzz of it all.
And imagine both of them there, right there in Las Vegas.
I'm sorry, what was that, Neil?
And imagine both those commodities right there in Las Vegas.
You know, somebody had their pulse on the American consciousness when they built Las Vegas, because, you know, Las Vegas never closes, and essentially gambling and sex are available around the clock, and it's pretty much encouraged. You know, 7-Eleven is no big deal in Las Vegas. You know, everything else is open 24 hours, so 7-Eleven is no big deal, but gambling and porn do pretty well.
Max, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go next to John. John with us from Payson, Arizona.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call here. Yeah, I got real lucky and won a seat in the World Series.
How'd you do that?
The local casino sponsored a series of tournaments, and the winner of those tournaments got to go to the World Series.
And so you won one of those tournaments?
And I won one of those tournaments so I could go to the World Series.
And how'd you do?
I didn't do too well, but I lasted about a third of the way through.
And that's not too bad.
But it was terribly exciting. It was overwhelming to be there with that much money, and the amount of money that's at the World Series, just phenomenal. Just absolutely phenomenal.
And I wonder, John, did you get to play with any of the great stars of the game?
Yes, I did.
And who was it?
I played against... Now you got me stumped. I wasn't prepared for the question.
I didn't mean to confound you, but
no problem.
Well, thanks for the call, John. Would you do it again?
I'd love it. I mean, absolutely love it. It was the height of my career. I'm a low limit poker player, but it was the height of my career. And I think Fort McDowell was the sponsor.
All right. Thanks very much, John. Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you now.
Bye-bye.
By the way, even though he couldn't think of the player, that is one of the attractions of the World Series of Poker, because in other sports, you know, you're never going to play a round of golf with Tiger Woods or play a best of three against Roger Federer. It's never going to happen. And if it did happen for some reason, you have no chance. At the World Series of Poker, you can play against the best players in the world, these legends. And on any given day, because of the nature of poker and the luck involved in tournament poker, you can actually beat them. And it's just thrilling when it happens.
Do you I assume that these great players who are at all these tournaments, some of them with outsized egos, watch your commentary and listen to some of the things you say. I wonder, what do they say anything to you?
Yeah, I mean, some of the thing with my commentary, Neil, I make no bones about the fact that I don't know that much about the strategy of how to win. So my commentary doesn't deal that much with card analysis or strategy. It deals more with the color of somebody's shirt. So some of the players, you know, most of them understand that. I don't criticize players that much on strategy. They do talk to me if they think I've said something that's wrong or if I said something negative about them. But they're generally, you know, it's generally a great group of people, and I don't have much of a problem with them.
Norman Chad is the ESPN color commentator at the World Series of Poker. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Michael on the line. Michael with us from Waltham, Massachusetts.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I was wondering, I've heard some stuff in the news about this online poker being fixed. Have you heard anything about that, or would you suggest getting into it, or is it a size bet?
Online poker, there's all kinds of, various websites that offer poker for free, or I presume, Norman Chad, at some point they figure out a way to make money from you.
Yeah, actually, you know, online poker, it makes the Las Vegas casinos look like a ma and pa operation. It's an incredible revenue stream online. It's a thing that I think will keep poker pretty popular, both on television and people playing it, because you can play online at any hour. You can play at home in your office. You can play in an Armani suit, or you can play in your underwear. So it's pretty easy access. And there have been some online problems. Anytime that much money is involved, you know, there's going to be somebody's going to try to cheat. So there have been a couple of scandals, and 60 Minutes did a piece on one earlier this year about a couple of sites that have had some problems in the world. You know, I know innumerable, countless people who play online, and some people make money, some people lose, just like a regular poker room,
mm-hmm.
and most of them trust it. I do not play online for a couple of reasons. I do know that eventually, you know, there's going to be cheating everywhere. There's still cheating in a card room. Generally, the games are safe. I hope the games remain safe, but yeah, I would always have a wary eye that somebody's trying to get an advantage.
There's cheating at the World Series?
I don't think there's cheating at the World Series. In fact, there's so many safeguards, both online and in card rooms, against cheating. It's very difficult to do. But I am reminded of the Breeders' Cup scandal a few years ago in horse racing, where somebody was able to essentially know the winners and be able to put bets in after the races went on. Anytime that much money is involved, somebody's going to try to get an edge. That's pretty much, I think, the whole notion of how this country was built. So I would always be wary in any type of gambling venture that something might be awry.
Norman, Chad, thanks very much for the advice, and have a great time.
I will do the best I can under the circumstances I'm given.
Norman Chad is ESPN's poker commentator. He's in Las Vegas for the World Series of Poker and joined us from his hotel there. If you get a chance to see his commentary on ESPN along with his partner, he describes quite colorfully the hats and the glasses and the markers and everything else that the various players use as they try to make their way through the grueling task of the main event at the World Series of Poker. We thank him for his time. Up next, we remember Oscar Mayer.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting.